very fascinating psukim that we're up to. So today we will continue. I always have this I don't know what the word is, but you know, like a teacher has a teacher's plan and you think you're going to get through this much and never. So maybe today I thought, okay, whatever it is, it's it. Doesn't matter if it's even a half a pasuk, it's also all right. That's what it is. What can we do? So anyways, because there's just so much and it's so beautiful. So we are in Perek Yotes, as you see in front of you, Pasuk Yud Zayin, because these are all the psukim, as we said, leading up to V'yahavta L'reacha Kamaicha, and we are moving closer and closer. Now, we did read this pasuk, but we didn't go in depth. So Pasuk Yud Zayin says, Loi sisna esachecha bilvavecha achicha, you should not hate. This is very strong language. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. And then we said, and then the next part of the pasuk says, Haycheyach toychiach es amisecha, you shall reprove your fellow, veloisisa olav chet, and you shall not bear a sin because of him. Now we have to understand these are three components to the pasuk. We have to understand what each of them mean and what is involved in this mitzvah. So we always do Rashi first, and then we'll see from the Sefer HaChinuch a little more of a clarification of what exactly is this mitzvah. It's interesting because obviously when we talk about the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael, loving our fellow Jew, many times we talk about it in a very, very general way. But when we learn the Chumash, we see so many details and how specific the Torah is and how many different aspects there are. So today we'll see a touch again of some of it. It's actually quite incredible. And this pasuk again is leading up, but we'll see a few things that look a bit contradictory almost, especially if you look just even superficially at the phrase, Haycheyach toychiach es amisecha, you shall reprove, right? Tell somebody they're doing something wrong. In a way, many people will think, I can't think of anything that will keep me at more of a distance from other people, right? Make more, how do you say it, a little bit much more challenges of getting along than somebody who's constantly telling the other person they're doing something wrong. And yet we see this is such an important component of the mitzvah. So we'll see soon. So let's see, Rashi says like this. Rashi just analyzes in Pasuk Yud Zayin, just the last phrase, because he doesn't understand where it comes in. You veloisisa alav chet, you shall not bear a sin because of him. Why would you bear a sin because of him? So he says, there's different ways of explaining this. According to Rashi, he says, Loi salbin es panav, do not make his face pale, which means, we always say salbin really means embarrass him, shame him, birabim in public. So Rashi says, it's a direct continuation, the mitzvah is to tell somebody they're doing something wrong, but this last phrase is, if you want to say, giving it a certain angle of how we should do it, we have to make sure that when we do it, we do not embarrass somebody. And that's what that phrase means. Interesting, we'll see there's another way of explaining it, but just to understand that, which means that if you do reprove somebody, and because of that they become ashamed, it sounds like you have a sin, right? You're going to carry a sin because of that. So it's quite an interesting thing. That other person did something wrong. You're trying to do something right. And yet the way you do it can affect the outcome for the other person as well as for yourself, even if you have the best intention in mind. Now, we're going to qualify this in a minute. That's all for this, for Rashi. We're going to come back to this page after. But let's go now to the next page. The next page of your booklet, there's a number 15. And I'll just show you here. Okay, so number 15 says like this. This is, as we always do, the Sefer HaChinuch gives us a very clear understanding of what is this mitzvah. So he says, a number 15 there on the top, it says, Shalai lisnoi sinas haleiv echad miYisrael. So the mitzvah here is not to hate somebody else in your heart, another Jew in your heart. Shenemar, how do we know it? Because this is from our pasuk, Laisisna sachicha bilvavecha, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. The Lashon Sifra and the Medrash tells us, Loi, the Medrash of Halacha, Loi amarti ela sina shehi b'leiv. So what does it mean that you should not hate your brother in your heart? This pasuk is specifically referring to a hatred which is within your heart, as opposed to a hatred that you necessarily display outwardly. Okay, so this is quite a hard mitzvah. We're not talking about how you treat the other person. We're talking just about the feeling that you have in your heart. Okay, so then he says, Ukumai kein barachim, good morning. B'sina shebelev hakosav medaber, we're talking about hatred in the heart. Aval, kishayira loisina, but when you'd actually display hatred to somebody, v'yeda shehu soinai, and it's obvious and it becomes known that he is the one you hate or you hate him, right? So you make it obvious, then you are not actually einai oiver alav zeh. You're not transgressing on this lav. That doesn't mean it's permitted. But this one is not transgressing if you display it. He says like this, amnam, but he's amnam hu oiver al loisikam v'loisitar. It's the next pasuk. But if you once you start to display the hatred, then you are transgressing on the thing of not taking revenge, not bearing a grudge. So it's a different aveira. But here again, why we have to specify this is to understand that this is something, it's very challenging, because Torah expects quite a bit from us. Because many times we will feel if somebody did something wrong to us, and it's genuinely, we are really, really hurt, genuinely hurt, and we, so to speak, and almost we feel entitled to have that feeling of resentment. And sometimes not only do we feel entitled, but we actually can praise ourselves and say, look how amazing I am, that even though I have that feeling in the heart, I don't act on it. So here we see the Torah says, you cannot hate somebody even just in your heart, even if you just leave it there. Okay, let's see. We'll see soon exactly how we'll analyze a little bit more how and how this works and the ramifications. But let's see what he says. And he's also transgressing a positive, because it says that you should love your fellow as yourself. So if you act on it, then you're transgressing both a negative and a positive. But here we're talking about just the feeling in your heart. Sinas halev hi kosher mikol hasina hagluya. It's very interesting. His opinion is that the hatred which you keep in your heart is worse. It's harder, it's harsher than all the hatred that you actually display. He says, why? V'aleha tazer ha-Torah Rabbi Yisr, and that the Torah actually warns us even more. Okay, why? So let's see what he says. What's the shayrish of the mitzvah? What's the real root of this mitzvah? V'yadua ki sinas halev goyremes. We're up to this paragraph. Sinas halev goyremes ro'is g'daylois bein b'nei adam. It actually causes tremendous, tremendous rift and challenges and hatred, in a sense, or bad between people. Why? Even more than when you act on it. Why? Liyos tamid cherev ish ba'achiv ish b'reyehu. This causes almost like this kind of a sword in everybody's hand, which means everybody's almost like, I don't know what you would say, the imagery would be like ready to pounce. You know, that kind of a, it's like you can walk into a room and you can feel, you know, you can say you could feel it like you want to cut it with a knife, you know, you can feel that hatred. And he says, why? Why is that? He says, why is it more than when you actually express it? For husiba, oh, he doesn't say here, but I'll tell you in a minute. For husiba l'chol ha-mesiros, ha-naseis bein ha-noshim. And this is the cause of all of the, mesira means when you tell on somebody, you know, sometimes throughout the generations, people would actually, we just had Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who had to run to the cave because it came to the Romans' ears that he spoke negatively about them. So all of that, all the time that this happened is only because of the hatred that people keep in their heart. Now it's interesting because we would think, oh, but he acted on it, right? That's what we're saying. And here we're saying we didn't act. So the Sefer HaChinuch actually has a very interesting thing. He says like this, that when we keep it in our heart, and we'll see soon the Mefarshim will develop it more, just quickly to clarify, then the other person could be unaware. So A, they're unaware of the danger. B, they're unaware, so they can't make amends. They can't say, I'm sorry. They can't fix it up. There's no way to repair the relationship. If you just hold on to that grudge and you don't deal with it and you don't openly go and confront them in a nice way, obviously there's ways to do it, well, there's no way to get over it. It's there permanently. So that's what makes it actually one of the worst things to do. Okay, that's all in a nutshell. We'll see soon how we explain. Let's see the next mitzvah according to the Sefer HaChinuch before we'll go back to this mitzvah. Yes, Riva.
It's very hard to love everybody.
That's for sure.
Sometimes you have family that is really hard to get on and you don't believe in their principles.
So you know, it's a very good question. Yes. stop what you feel. So you know what the truth is like this, that what I'd like to do is, it's a very good question. What I would like to do is, I'd like you, if you don't mind, keep the question. I'll tell you why for next week. I'll tell you why. Because next week we're going to do the actual pasuk, which says, V'yahavta l're'acha kameicha, where we actually have the command to love. And that's where we'll deal with it more, about how could the Torah command us to love when you don't. You know, we have the same thing with, and I understand what you're saying, when it's especially when it's extremely challenging, not only don't you love them, but there's reasons dafka not to, you know. So let's see. But what today we'll just develop a little bit more, but if you don't mind, Rivat, but please remember to ask it. It's a very, very important question. Yes.
What if we hate the deed?
Okay, so that's not a problem. And we'll see in a minute. No problem hating the deed. Absolutely none. That's what Bruria said to Rabbi Meir, right? Rabbi Meir, when he was davening, there were certain people who were doing a terrible thing, and he was davening that they should die. And she said, the Tillim says, Yitamu chatoyim min haaretz, that the sins should be removed, not the sinners. So that's not a problem. Yeah, that's the best way. Okay. And actually, it's a problem if you don't hate the deeds, because then we become less sensitive. So, and then we start to tolerate it, and slowly, we can even start to learn from the negative ways. So, yeah, there we go. That's a good question. Okay, let's see now. Mitzvahs, that would do from the Sefer HaChinuch, mitzvah reish lamites. Mitzvahs toichecha, he says, Yisrael, she'enoi noihei kashur. Now, we're going to see some interesting differentiation that the Sefer HaChinuch makes. So the general mitzvah is to tell somebody off who is not behaving properly, right? Not behaving the way they should. Now, remember in Torah we have two domains, if you want to say, which we can divide. There's between man and man, and then there's between man and God. And we're going to see how that's going to play out over here. Okay, so firstly, he defines the mitzvah. L'haychiyach echad miYisrael, that you shall rebuke a person, another Jew, she'enei misnai kashura, who doesn't behave the way they're supposed to. Bein bidvarim shebein adam lechaveire, this is number 16, sorry, yes, here we are. Okay, whether it be matters between man and his friend, oy bein adam lamakim, or whether it be between matters between man and God. Shenemar, and we prove it from our pasuk, that's the source, haicheach teichiach esamisecha v'loisisa olav chait. So he says, quoting from the Sifra, V'amru b'sifra, minayim. And now we come to an interesting technical part of the mitzvah. Because we're saying that we have to rebuke somebody. So remember, this is a mitzvah. So there's, you know, there's, how do you say it? There's exact details of how you execute the mitzvah. Let's just say, he says, im haychachtoi arba'a v'chamisha pa'amim. Let's say you see somebody doing something wrong. And you tell him once, twice, three times, four times, five times. You tell him over and over and over again. After a while, you think, I can't. How many times could I tell them? Same thing, they're making the same mistake again. V'loi chazar, and they don't change. Sha'ata chayav lachzar v'loi chiyach. How do you know that you should continue? So it says, Talmud loimar, haycheyach toychiyach. See how the pasuk says it? Double. Rebuke, rebuke. Keep on rebuking. Now, we can't finish the shiur here because there's lots of different things to understand about this, but we'll see in a minute. But just to understand, so first of all, yes, we should continue when the person's making the mistake again. Don't give up. Keep saying it. As he says, afilu meya pa'amim, even 100 times. Okay. V'amru sham b'sifra. But then we have to qualify this a little bit. So the sifra says, yachol meichicha yupanav mishtanos. It's possible that you will rebuke him, and as we said in Rashi, his face will change. In other words, you're going to embarrass him. That's what sometimes happens. Talmud Leimar. So how do we know that's not the way to do it? That's why the pasuk concludes, V'loi sisa olav chait. You shall not carry upon yourself a sin because of him. V'zem melameid shebetchilas hatechacha sheroi. So this teaches us the best way to do it. At the beginning, when you're starting, when the person's making the mistake the first time or the second time. So what do? Ro'oi la'adam la'ichiach b'seiser. You should do it privately, ubalosh and raka, and with a soft, you know, so to speak, expression, v'divrei nachas. Do it pleasantly. Try to be smart about it. Kadesh la yisbayish, so the person should not be embarrassed. V'ein safek, she'im lo'ichazar b'ibikach. But if the person keeps doing it, despite the way you said it so nicely and so, you know, with such dignity, and they still keep repeating the mistake. Shemachlimin hachayte birabin. He says you do embarrass the person in public. Umefarsimin chetei, and you publicize his sin. Umecharfin, I say, and you like really you berate him. Ad sheyachzor lemutav, until he changes his way. Now, what does this mean? Okay, so it's a very harsh one, and we're going to see, we have to wait, hold it, because we're going to see what that means for nowadays. But this is the words of the Sefer HaChinuch, and he actually means more between man and God, that's the truth, than between man and man, because there is a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and we have to, Kiddush Hashem also means to stand up for the honor of Hashem. So if somebody's openly, knowingly doing something which Hashem says not to do, well, that also is between man and man. But if it's openly like going against God, so to speak, then you should be even more, in a sense, militant, which is not the way we think of it, but that's the halacha, rather than if when it's between you and him, something that he's done to hurt you. Okay, but let's see in a minute how this works. He says, first of all, what is the root? So very interesting. He says like this, and this is comes into the mitzvah, as we said, of not hating the other person. He says, this is the continuation of the pasuk. The pasuk says not to hate the other person in your heart, and you should rebuke him. What's the connection? And it fits together. He says, when you tell somebody that they're doing something wrong, it actually causes the opposite of what we would think. It actually causes peace and goodness between people. How come? Because when one person sins against another, and he actually rebukes him privately, he could apologize, and you can accept the apology. So you're airing out what's bothering you, and then the person can accept the apology. And you can make peace. You can actually, you know, fix up the relationship. You can repair. But if you don't rebuke him, so what will happen is you're going to hate him in your heart. What's going to happen is human nature, if you hold on to that hatred and you don't actually confront the person, after a while it's going to build up so much that either you're going to hurt him right away, or if not, if you're a good person and you say, no, I'm not going to act on it, after a while it will inevitably come out. Because a person cannot hold on to something when somebody really has hurt them and they feel that they've done something unjustified. It's impossible for a person to look that person in the eye and really, as we're going to see soon, love him as we should, and definitely not act in a negative way. And we'll see, obviously, and take nakama or bear a grudge, whatever it may be. Okay, so he says like this, whether it be immediately or when the opportunity arises. That's one of the very, very challenging stories in Tanakh, with when Amnon actually raped his sister Tamar, right? That's a very sad story. And we have that, let me just see, Avshalom, who was the brother, well, he was a half-brother, Amnon, but Avshalom was a real brother, and he actually didn't confront Amnon. And he kept the hatred in his heart until he actually killed him. That's what the pasuk says. Because he couldn't hold on to it because he was so angry at what he had done to his sister that afterwards he actually killed him. And this, the Sefer HaChinuch tells us, this is an example of the terrible damage that will happen if a person behaves this way. We know that all the ways of Torah are ways of pleasantness and all its pathways are ways of peace. And now just, I don't usually, but I just want to see quickly the halacha that he brings. It's obviously a very abbreviated form of how this actually plays out halachically. Masha amru zichreinam levracha. Shechiyuv mitzvah zu ad haka'a. This is such an interesting language. He says, how much should you rebuke the other person to the point where you feel that he will hit you? That's when you stop. When you feel that you rebuked him so many times that now he's about to lift his hand and say, shush up already, enough, I'm not interested to hear what you have to say, and he's about to actually hit you, then you stop. Because you are then in danger. You don't put yourself in danger to fix somebody else. Very interesting. Okay, it's hard to know exactly where that point is, but yes, Leah.
Who is responsible to rebuke? You see something not close to you, but someone displaced is doing the and everyone knows, but who is responsible?
That's a very big question, big question. So the truth is, we're going to get to soon. The truth is that it's a very good question. Who's responsible? So the fascinating thing with rebuking is that there is one component that we haven't mentioned yet. That is the component of, yes, taking into account if it will be received. Okay, so here we say we have to rebuke up to 100 times. But before the person began rebuking this person, it has to be somebody that you have a connection to, that has a connection to you, that you think in your mind, maybe there's a chance that they're going to listen to you.
Although you know that this person is really sinning, and he's not close to you, but it's not your responsibility.
That's right. If you feel that he's not going to listen, no chance at all, no, then it's not your responsibility. But if you feel there's even a slight chance, then you have a responsibility and you can't just leave it to everybody else. But you can, if you want to do it in a smart way, let's say you know that somebody else will be telling them off, you can stand back and allow the other person, because by you doing it now, that might make it worse. That's a problem. You have to think about it. In other words, it has to be on your responsibility, but obviously in a smart way. Okay, because we're going to see that's a very big component is to take into account if you feel there's even a chance that the person will listen, because otherwise you might be doing something really, really bad. But it's just going to backfire totally. Okay, so we'll see. That's why it's important to do this mitzvah in its entirety. Okay, so I just want to see how, sorry, the Sefer HaKadosh continues. Ask any questions if it's not clear, but as we say, we will get a little bit more soon. Then he says, right, until the point of hitting. So the person who's rebuking should increase and should do a lot of rebuking. El hachayte, to the one who's doing the sin, at kedei shiyakarev hachayte lahakay says amaychiach, to the point where the person is almost ready to hit you, so to speak. Umikol makom amru zechreinim levacha gamkein. But to balance this out, our rabbis teach us sheim yira hamaychiach, if the person who's doing the rebuking sees sheein bedivrei taychichaysav shum tayeles nimtza. Right, that's what we're saying. If the person sees that there's no purpose, it's not going to help, it's not going anywhere, mitaych goydel resha hachayte, whether it be because the person is so bad, and you see that he's so bad that he's created this fence, and he's totally resistant to any change, oy shehu ish, or he's a man, and it goes to the top of the next column, elam v'rosha b'yoyser, he's like a really wicked man, as we can say. So he's wicked in the sense where you're worried about your safety also. You're afraid of him. That he might actually, you know, kill you. If not now, in a day or two from now, as we say, then you have no responsibility in that case. You don't have to get involved if it's going to endanger your life. So you see here, it's both things. If you think the person is going to be totally resistant to change, or you think the person is going to hurt you because of it, don't start up. Then you taka don't have a responsibility to go there. You might have a responsibility to try and find somebody else. But you yourself don't have to put yourself in danger and go there. Okay.
I just find this is a very odd sort of situation. You just say it's a child. You know, child.
Yeah.
It's too terrible because you have to rebuke them. And they don't want to change. They've even retaliated
with you. Yeah, it's a problem. You're right. So that's again. Does it, what
so
but,
you,
yeah. So you have to obviously use some kind of seichel and see what's the best way in the situation. So if it's not you, it could be somebody else, or you can do it in the right way. So it all depends how it, but if it's going to backfire totally, then obviously, yeah, you have to ask a shayla in such a case and really do it properly. Like as we say, think about it strongly before we open our mouth. Yeah. Because it could be quite a dangerous, in a sense, dangerous in every way. I'm not talking just physically, but we understand this could be dangerous for the relationship, that's right, for future. And if you lose the child, then you've lost everything. So 100%. 100%. So we're talking here about dangerous. When we say that the person's going to hit you, it doesn't just mean physically. You know, he can do other damage. If a person's going to do financial damage, even psychological, and if you're going to be abused because of it, don't engage. That's what it says. You have to know. A person has to really first think about it before they start with actually actively doing this mitzvah. Okay? But we do know, like Leah was pointing out, the truth is sometimes we don't do it only because we, let's say, we don't want the other person to think badly of us, you know? And that's not a reason. That's not a good enough reason to stop ourselves. That's where we have to be careful. Okay, so it's a fine line. Yeah, it's a fine line. Okay. Okay, and we're going to see quite strongly how the Mefarshim talk about that. But just to quickly see a little bit more, he says, and that's what the Chazal say, Kishem shemitzvah loymer davar handishma. He says it very clearly. Just like it's a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, kach mitzvah lishtoik b'mokayim she'ein hadavar nishma. Very strong language. In the same way, it's a mitzvah to be silent when you know that it won't be heard, when you know the person won't receive it properly. The same mitzvah. So it's important to remember it that way. It's not just that you're being weak. You're doing a mitzvah by being silent when you know that the other person will not receive it properly. Okay. Lefi sheyihye b'inyin kolayn l'maychiyach v'loysay eles l'asher huchach. Because it's going to cause terrible, not just shame, but damage to the one who's rebuking, and it won't even change the one who's being rebuked. So at that case, it's a mitzvah to keep your silence. Okay, then he says, and we call makam yeshel his yashev l'chol bal nefesh. That's what he says. But a person should, to anybody who's, as we say, a bal nefesh. In other words, somebody who you think might, yes, receive it, even if not at that moment, might go home and think about it and, yes, make a change. Then you do have to engage, and you do have to, as you say, ulhashkiach harbe bin yonim eila v'lachshay v'liray sim yetayelas b'dvarav elachayte. So a person has to think about it and really put thought, is it going to help? Sheyechichenu v'yiftach, and then he should probably do it if he feels that it will be helpful, it will actually make a difference. And he says a beautiful thing. And after you've said it, sometimes, you know, we so to speak, we think about it, we say something. The other person doesn't look too receptive. They're not a bad person. They're a good person overall, but they look a little bit insulted, maybe even if we did it in the most, you know, so to speak, sensitive way. And you might think, oy, vavoy, what did I do? I didn't even help. So here, the Sefer HaChinuch tells us something very beautiful. He says, when you finish, you go home, and he says, v'yiftach b'shem yisparach. You have to actually have bitachon, trust in Hashem. Leave it now to Hashem. That what? That there, sorry, let me just see where I lost my place. V'yiftach, where are we? Yes, ki hu ya'azrenu. That Hashem will help us when you fight your enemies. That's in a strong way, as we say. Because in a minute we'll see that sometimes you have to stand up and it's not so pleasant. Like somebody who's in a position of leadership sometimes has to stand up and it causes people not to like them so much, right? And if you go and you say something sensitively, the person goes home, trust, you never know, it might have, hopefully they'll think about it. And we do see it sometimes. Sometimes the person won't admit it, but you see that afterwards they do change a little bit. We've seen that through our life, and it's up to Hashem. So you daven and you ask Hashem, that Hashem will help you, that what you're doing should actually have a positive effect. But he says like this, that very interesting. Val yorech. So now we're talking about if you do have to actually, you know, rebuke something terrible that's happening, and now you've made enemies. Val yerech levavoy v'lo yira. A person shouldn't have a weak heart and shouldn't be afraid. Ki Hashem yizbarach shomer eskol ohavav. Hashem watches all who love him. Ve'eskol harishom yashmin, and destroys the wicked. V'im yoshev hachayte. And then he says a beautiful thing. When the person changes because you have pointed it out to them, what happens is something magnificent. He says, we should really realize, yeloi bazeh schar gadol. You get a tremendous reward, because you have a part in his changing. So that's actually a very beautiful idea to give us a little bit of an encouragement, obviously when we're doing it properly, to yes, care, as we say, enough to put ourselves in a little bit of an uncomfortable position. Umisha biyadei lahashiva, ulemachais bai v'loy micha. Somebody who does have the opportunity and is able to actually tell somebody that they're doing something wrong and he doesn't. Hu nitpas al chetai, then he is actually caught up in the sin. In other words, then you have a bit of responsibility when the person continues to do the thing wrong. So if you did have the chance and you didn't grab the opportunity, then you also are, the sin is shared, so to speak, to you. Not, it's quite a heavy kind of a thing, but that's what happens. It is clear from the words of our rabbis. Let me see if it, um, let me see, sorry, I keep losing the place. Gam min hakasav, also from the pasuk. V'oidam ruzak reinu muvracha. Shafilu hakatan. And now we come to, you asked about children. So even, and this is not even about children, us telling children off. He says that if a child sees an adult doing something wrong, very interesting. He says, chayav laichiyach hagadol. Im yira hagadol haylech bederech laitayv. This could be a child in years, or it could be if you see somebody who you think is much better than you, much greater, knows much more, has more experience, whatever, and you think, who am I to tell them? No, you can tell them, even if they're the gadol and you are the katan. That's okay, if you, obviously, as we say, in the right way. So it's a very powerful thing. This is not, nobody can shirk it. It's, so to speak, everybody's responsibility. And more of these halachas are detailed in other places. And this mitzvah is everywhere at all times, men and women. And somebody who transgresses it, he's obviously transgressing. He is being mevatel on a mitzvah asay. And yes, and it's not obviously not a very positive thing. I just want to quickly do one more of the Sefer HaChinuch. I know it's a bit long. It's just very beautiful how he puts it, because as we said, the pasuk also continued after we said you shouldn't hate him. And as the Sefer HaChinuch says, that connects to rebuking them, because by rebuking, hopefully you can let go of the hatred, right? Because now you'll make peace. He'll know what's bothering you and you won't have that hatred in your heart. And then we said, uh-oh, but be careful how you do it. Don't do it in a way that will shame the other person. So the Sefer HaChinuch, who is one of the people who actually count the mitzvahs, puts this as a mitzvah of not embarrassing somebody else. It's very interesting. That's how he categorizes those last words of the pasuk. So he says like this, that you should not, shaloi levayesh, it's number 17, shaloi levayesh echad mi Yisrael, you shall not embarrass another person. Vezeha avan yikru rabbi sein zechrenim levracha malbin pnei chaveirei berabim. We know the famous language, which literally means to make the other person, your friend's face in public, white, as we say, because the person loses color when they're shamed. V'halav haba al zehu mashukasa v'aycheich techeich asabisecha. As he says, this is from our pasuk, v'loisisa olav cheit, do not carry the burden of the sin of what? Of embarrassing him when you tell him off. V'amru b'sifra, minayin shem aychachta, afilo arba aychamisha pamim. Chayza v'aycheich, as we said, how do we know we're supposed to do it many times? Yachol. So remember we said, yeah, the pasuk says double. Haychiach, taychiach. So here he says, yachal afilu. Now we're going to qualify it. What happens in panav mishtanais? If when you are telling him off, you see he's starting to get embarrassed, what do you do then? Talmud leimar, v'laisisa alav chet. So here we have the end of the pasuk. Yes, tell him off. But as soon as you see that you are causing him shame, finished. You can't say it anymore. So that's why it's such a hard mitzvah in a way, because you have to use a tremendous amount of seichel, which not everybody really has in a sense in this. But yes, Leah.
How so deep? If you did something in whatsoever, you transgress Shabbat, let's say, okay?
Yeah.
So once you're telling, why did you do it?
Yeah.
So he became ashamed. So you should not say, well, I don't
understand. Okay, it's very hard. Very, very hard mitzvah. So what we find that's written about it is that it's the way you do it. So obviously, if you confront somebody, like say, oh, why you know, there's a different way. Maybe the one way of haychiach techiach, let's say with that example, would be that if the person is, let's say, transgressing Shabbos, so one way of doing it is you invite him to your home, right? Let's say, if you have the opportunity. And while you're at the Shabbos table, you start talking about the mitzvah of Shabbos. That could also be fulfilling your obligation of opening up this person's eyes to understanding what they're doing wrong without causing him shame. I'll tell you where it would be different. When a person hurts you, right? Like they said something wrong and they insulted you and they're unaware, right? So over there, it's a bit different, because over there you have to actually black and white. You have to clearly say what he did wrong. We said that's part of this mitzvah, because that's what causes you not to bear that hatred. So over there, again, you have to do it in private. You have to do it sensitively. But of course, you have to be clear so the person has the opportunity to actually apologize. But again, if you do it in public, or that's what he's saying over here, and you cause the person shame in public is more the bigger thing, that's a big problem.
But even in private, you tell the tell him.
I know. And they can feel. Yes, so they can feel. Yeah.
So Lot is.
So I hear you, but Leah, the truth is like this. With this shame, obviously, again, how you say it. If you say it in a way where, you know what you said to me? I couldn't sleep for the whole 6 months. So obviously, but if you say, you know, it wasn't the right thing, it hurt me, you say it in a sensitive way, yeah, the person will be ashamed, of course, because that's the only way he's going to change. But that's a different type of shame. That's not what we're talking about here. That's right. Like sapasnish, you know, it's not... Yeah, we don't do it. So, like, then you think, uh-oh, I better not behave that way. So there is a smart way, you're right. Not always so simple, as we know. Not always easy, Leah. You're right. It's not an easy mitzvah, and it's a very fine line. It's not a mitzvah.
Just keep quiet.
Keep quiet, but if you can... But you know what, Rose? If you can remove it from your heart, then it's okay. But if you can't, it's a problem. Okay?
So,
oh boy, and then it was also an interesting way of doing it, but yeah, you're right.
Say that you shouldn't,
yes,
complain to your children too often, because
yeah,
it causes trouble.
And as you say, because also by the deathbed, the advantage is that they don't have to see you again and talk about the shame. No, it says the Mefarshim say that, because the shame is more when you see, what happens is if somebody points out that you did something to them, you know, hurt them, where the shame could be a lot of times is when you see them again, and then it comes up, and you, even if you've said you're sorry and you really sincerely feel, but you still have that shame every time you see them. So that's why, again, using that, sometimes it's good if you're taking a trip and you're going to be away a little bit. It's a better time to say it, because it gives that space. It's really part of the mitzvah. It's quite an amazing thing. It's interesting because when we think of mitzvahs, sometimes we think of mitzvahs as, you know, black and white, do this, don't do this. But here we can see these mitzvahs are so much deeper in a sense that they involve so much thought, how to actually do the mitzvah. And it's, otherwise we can totally mess it up. It's, very powerful. Okay, so as he says, I just want to quickly see a little bit more of this mitzvah. So he says, Shoyresh HaMitzvah. This is actually quite a simple, what's the roots? Yadua Lefisha HaBoishes Tzar Gadol. This is interesting. Because we would think in our context we're talking about not shaming the person, because then the person might, not even accept what you're saying and all this kind of a thing. Here he's talking about the shame in and of itself. That shame, and let's not forget that it comes in context, it's also very important, to usually the person did something to you, right? That's why you're telling him this. They've hurt you, right? So you're telling him that they've hurt you. And here he says, what do you have to have the sensitivity? Not to cause him pain. He's caused you so much pain, but you still have to be in that sensitive mode of not causing the other person pain, because he says shame is one of the worst pains that a person can feel. Ein gadol, look at the language, ein gadol mimenu. There's nothing greater than it, than feeling shame. Hashem has prevented us, stops us from causing pain to his creation so much. So you have to do it privately when you tell him off. So the person shouldn't be as shamed. So there might be a bit, but not as much. So never in public, as we can understand. The complicated thing, I think, with this, and this, I don't know, I'm not a Rav, would be for a teacher, because sometimes in a classroom, it is in public, and you don't have a choice, because when the child's doing something wrong and the other children will learn from them, so it becomes quite complicated there. So there's a lot of there are halachas for that, to know how and when and, you know, what you can say in public and what you can't. So it's interesting, because in private, it's a lot less strict, if you see what I'm saying, because the shame is a different type of a shame. It's obviously a whole different level of shame when it's in private than when it is in public. It's very interesting.
I should open this up. What about on Facebook?
I don't think you can get more public than that. So, yeah. Yeah, and that's
back.
That's why there, I'd say you have to be 100 times more careful. Yeah, much more. That's the worst platform of all. Yeah, it's very scary. Yeah, because in the mitzvah, you know, it's interesting, because in the mitzvahs, you know, when it talks about Lashon Hara, it always uses that example, you know, in the olden times, they used to use the example, it's like a pillow, you know, and the feathers, they go in the wind, and we would always think, oh, you know, one person tells another, now in 1 second, the whole world. So it's actually so, yeah. It's the power of destruction is so much stronger in a way, but okay, to be extra careful. Okay, I just wanted to, I'm sorry, there's one more paragraph because it's very important to qualify this difference. When we come to the next paragraph, which says, midine ha-mitzvah, do you see it? It's there, dine ha-mitzvah, it's from the laws of this mitzvah, towards the bottom. He says, Masha amru zechreinam levracha, shaloi bechol hadvarim. Oh, now we're going to qualify it. Shaloi bechol hadvarim hisharnu bekach. Not in all matters are we warned, and we're talking specifically about the shame aspect. Not about the rebuke, the shame. What does it mean? Ella bedvarim shebein adam lechaveirai. When we're talking about between man and man, there we have to be very careful. So if somebody insulted you, you have to be careful not to shame him when you tell him. Aval bedivrei shamayim. But what happens when it's matters between man and God? Im loy chazar minateichacha shebeseser. And you've rebuked him privately because you tried it. You obviously are sensitive, so you tell him off privately, but he doesn't fix his ways. Then what do we have to do? Mitzvah lahachlimai. It's actually a mitzvah to shame him, birabim in public, ulefarsim chetai, and to publicize his sin, ulevazaisai, ulekalalai, at sheyachser lemutav, until he returns from his ways. One of the things that we know nowadays that people actually fulfill with this very strongly, I don't know if you've seen it, and it's publicized a lot, and I talk about Facebook, is the Aguna story, right? So sometimes a man will not give his wife get, right, the divorce, and people do everything they can, and he's not doing it. So now, just now, there's become a massive thing where they really publicize it everywhere, on Facebook, on every kind of social media, make these, I saw on, somebody sent me a clip of in Borough Park, or where, I don't know where it was, or Muncie, in front of this man's house, there was hundreds of people demonstrating with placards, with microphones. I mean, you can't cause more shame to a person than that. But that's what they're saying. This person is not doing a mitzvah that they're supposed to be doing, giving the get. So here it's a mitzvah to shame him until he changes his ways. And actually, there's been just now two stories where it actually worked. The person literally hasn't, for years and years, they refused to give a get. And within a week of this action, he gave the get. Quite amazing.
So cherem used to be cherem,
didn't help. That because he wasn't so worried about his little circle. This was like all over the world. Unbelievable. Anyway, so I guess everything has a purpose, even shame in a sense. I know, whips, but nowadays we can't. So that's the problem. So this, they tried it somewhere and they got really badly arrested. there was a story, Riva. Ay, 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 there was in Lakewood. There was a story. Anyways. Yeah, yeah, and they were arrested. Anyways, it was terrible. But this person was really a bad person, not giving the get. But nowadays we can't bear. It's not, yes. What's the story?
There was somebody in South Africa that wouldn't give a
I don't remember at the end, but yes, he did quite strongly come, yeah. But not with it, actually, physically, yeah. There's a famous story about somebody went into one of these great rebbes, it was years ago, maybe even 100 years ago, and he wasn't giving the get. So the guy pointed at me and says, listen, there's two ways, the Gemara says there's two ways for a woman to become free, either through a divorce or the husband dying. So he says, pick your choice. And the man actually, still, he didn't care, and he actually, apparently, died the next day. But this was obviously a tzaddik that was able to do that, but and that was that person's choice, if you want to say, but quite a strong, yeah. Okay, anyways, I just want to show you, time goes very fast, I want to show you some very nice mefarshim, but before we go, I just want to share one beautiful thing before, from the Baal Shem Tov, and then we'll go into the mefarshim on the next page. So the Baal Shem Tov is on this pasuk, it says, Haycheach, Taychiach, right? So we said, why the double? So Sefer HaChinuch says the double is to show us that you have to rebuke many times, right? Even if it takes a lot of times. So he says a very beautiful thing. The Baal Shem Tov says that when you see a flaw in somebody else, usually it's because you have that defect in yourself, right? That's, as we know. This is a famous thing that the Baal Shem Tov tells us. If you don't have the defect at all, you won't even notice it in your friend. You could have it obviously on a much smaller scale, but you have it, right? So he says, so therefore, That's why we say kol ha-paisel b'mumay paisel, right? Anybody who says somebody else is disqualified is because he himself is disqualified, right? He has it himself. Okay, so he says, so based on this, we say like this, that when you reprove somebody else, right, that means, first of all, we say, you have to be willing to reprove yourself first. Ha-yichiach, tell yourself off, and only then go and point out to the other person, you know, you're doing something wrong. So a big cheshbon ha-nefesh, as we say, before we do this. It's a very, very big one. That's a very fascinating and a beautiful way to see the pasuk, as we're saying, because we know, and we do know this from our own experience, that sometimes a person can tell us something and we take it no problem. Okay, we feel ashamed a little bit, right? Because they're pointing out something we did wrong. But it actually moves us to change. And sometimes somebody says something and all we feel is, you know, resentment. Usually it comes from, because what was the way the person did it. So if the person comes with this approach, where they first worked on themselves, and they thought about it so much, and they feel a little bit themselves reproved, if you want to say, so they don't come with arrogance, it's much easier for you to take what they will tell you. So as we can see, it works. It's a very powerful concept that the Baal Shem Tov explains. Let's just see a little bit of the Mefarshim to give it a bit more insight of how these psukim work. So some of these, let me just see, I think number 19. Do you see it says a number 19 on the top of the next page? The Evan Ezra says, Lay Sisna es achicha. He says, what does it mean not to hate your friend? It's Heitech v'yahavta l'reicha. This is the opposite of the mitzvah that we're coming to of love your fellow. V'hine eila ha-mitzvahs kulam netuais b'leiv. So he says, all of these mitzvahs are things which are in our heart, right? That's where they come from. U'bihishamram yeshvu ba'aretz. He says, and when we keep them, that's how we remain in our land. As he says, ki al sinas chinam charav bayis sheni. Because of hatred for nothing, so to speak, as we say, sinas chinam, that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, I saw a very beautiful thing also. When we talk about sinas chinam, so we say, do not hate your fellow, your brother in your heart, right? Sinas chinam is always the language used. Hatred for nothing. What is hatred for nothing? I mean, they did something. It's not for nothing. So, I forgot, one of the Gedolim says a very beautiful thing. He says, that it fits into this pasuk. He says like this, if somebody hurts you, they insult you. And instead of going to share it with them in a nice way, sitting down with them saying, you know what you did, it really hurts me, you keep it bottled up. So what happens? As you bottle it up, as we know, it builds, it builds, it builds, it builds. That is sinas chinam. Why is it sinas chinam? Because that hatred is baseless. Why is it baseless? Because you have a choice. You should sit down with him, explain it to him, then you will release it. If you're holding on to it, it's baseless in the sense that you haven't dealt with it the way you should. That's chinam. In other words, it shouldn't be there. It's a hatred which should not be there, because the Torah gives us a guidance how to deal with it. So it's a very powerful thing. Obviously, it doesn't always work that way. We know, first of all, some people, we can't confront them. There's no question about it. Some people will not receive it. It's true. That's when we have to work on other things. That's where, you know, that's a whole different story. That's a deeper and a harder avodah. But in some things, it is this way. It could be a silly thing. We know that. Sometimes you see, you watch in families, a silly small thing, and it escalates and escalates and escalates and escalates until it becomes a mountain. It didn't have to. That's why it's chinam. It shouldn't have been there if it would have been dealt with right away. Okay, so let's see now to quickly continue the Baal HaTurim, I don't think, because that's a... Let's see number 22, the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Laisisna sachicha bilvavecha im gamal chara, if he has done something bad to you, loy sisrael lefanav ka'ayhev. This is a very interesting one. Do not appear to him as if you love him, which means, this mitzvah means, don't be a hypocrite. A very interesting thing here. When we talk about not hating somebody in your heart, he emphasizes this part. If he did something and it really hurts you, do not act as if nothing happened. That's not the way it works in Torah. Don't be like that. Don't show him that you love him. Deal with it. It's very interesting. Very powerful thing. As he says, Bepiv shalom esreyehu yidaber. I'd speak to him nicely, and ubekirbay yost. I can't see the words. Yostim arvay, right? And in your like, so speak to him nicely, and in your inside you put all the hatred. Don't act that way. That's bad news. He says. He says loytayv hadavar asherata. He says not good. Al tisaneyu belibcha elahichiach taychichehu. Rather tell him off. Al masha aso mitoich kach yehashalom, and then you'll actually gain peace. This behavior, no good. I wanted to do maybe one more beautiful one. I forgot which Mufarish says it. A very fascinating idea about leading on from this, what this causes. Just see something. I think it maybe was the Kli Yakar. I'll just share with you, and then when we get to it, I will do it inside. The Kli Yakar says something very interesting. That sometimes when a person doesn't rebuke their friend, it's actually because they hate them. Why? What does that mean? And he says, if they really loved them, they would rebuke them. So he says, because, and this will lead on to the next pasuk that we'll see next week. Because if you truly care about somebody else, not about yourself, but about somebody else, then you care about how they are, right? If they're healthy, if they're well, not just physically, but spiritually as well. So if you see somebody doing something wrong, whether it be in any way, and you really care about them, you won't be quiet because you want them to change. And he says it actually strongly the other way. If you don't like them, what you will do is, if you hate them, you will shush your mouth. Why? Because you will want them to continue in their bad ways. Why? And sometimes we find it's a very horrible middah, but you can find it, that if you really don't like them, you will want to be better than them, right? You'd rather that this person continues behaving in this negative way, because then you can feel so much more superior to them. And that person, we say also, he'll have to pay for it after 120, because they're continuing in their negative ways. So the hatred will cause you not to rebuke. If you truly love, or even if you don't hate, we didn't get to love yet, don't hate, then you will rebuke because you want the person to change their ways. So this is also a very important thing to put into the mix, that when we rebuke, it's not because we're being critical, that if it is, then it's a problem. It's because we truly want the other person to change their ways. And that's what most of the Gedolim, especially now, the Chafetz Chaim says it very, very strongly. So you asked before, and I would love to see the words they quote, if I could find it, I had. Of course, I won't find it when I'm looking. Let me see. Maybe I will. Very fascinating, strong words that the Chafetz Chaim said. The Chafetz Chaim says that nowadays, let me see where, if I'll find. I'm not sure where it is. Okay. Because he says very, very strongly that nowadays we have to be so, so careful because people are not receptive. Not receptive to criticism. I think maybe it's actually even in here. I'll show you. When you become rabbis, this is what he said to his students. When you become rabbis to the Jewish people, it is important that you do not rebuke your congregation with harsh words, for such words will not re-echo in their hearts, which are grown heavy with cares. First of all, explain the seriousness of the prohibition in question and make them understand what Hashem expects of us. That will be much more useful than the strong language preferred by most preachers, words that no one takes to heart. And he says even strongly, he says, interesting, and Reb Chaim of Elazhin apparently writes that a person who does not know how to tell somebody off with mildness is exempt from this mitzvah. So if you are a harsh person and you know, and you start to recognize that, then perhaps you should take this as, no, I'm not able to fulfill this mitzvah. Okay, so it's actually an interesting one. The other thing is that the Ramban explains that this mitzvah comes from a whole different point. And this is where we come to a very interesting one, because the whole time we're talking about it, like we care about the other person, and that's why we're telling them off. But the truth is that there's also a self-motivated reason why you should tell somebody off. And that is because Kol Yisrael Areivim Ze Lazeh. The famous line, we're all responsible for each other, not just responsible, but we are guarantors. Like the famous mashal that's given when you're on a boat, and if there's one person drilling a hole under his seat, so the people of the boat say, what are you doing? He says, it's my seat. I paid for my seat. But of course, he's going to cause everybody else to drown. So you say to the person, no, you can't just drill a hole under your seat. So the same way the Ramban says, let's not forget that anybody who does an Aveira, another Jew, it actually affects us, it does. And therefore, that should motivate you to care enough to try and help that person to change. Obviously, we have to put it all together, and it should come from all of the different motivations should be play a part in it. And if a person comes with just because they care about themselves, it's not going to work, as we understand. But it's quite a hard mitzvah, but it's a good one. So Amir Tashem, next week we will continue, and we'll get to, hopefully, Avos Yisrael. I'm just going to stop the shift. Any other questions? Oh, there was something so beautiful that I wanted to show you, but I don't know how to... Oh, maybe. I'll tell you what I'll do. Just try.